بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن النظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق صدق الله العظيم. Firstly, it's really nice to be amongst you. It's been a long, long time. I can see Abdurrahim by smiling here as well. I don't know, out of happiness or anger, but of both maybe. But Allah bless you all. And it's always like being home here. Allah keep the muhabba, inshallah, and accept the ibadat of everyone. So I thought it would be appropriate for me to share a synopsis of some verses that were recited, because it gives us a very broad brush of different angles of our life and the different guidelines that the Quran provides us with. So today, of course, we recited the 30th juz, Surah Am. And in that is one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that when the dwellers of Jannah will go into Jannah, may Allah make us amongst them, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very amazing expression. Allah says, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. So a literal, verbatim translation, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ, paradise, is compensation from your Lord, remuneration from your Lord, reward from your Lord. تُمَارِ نَيْكِكَ بَدْلَا عَطَاءً بَخْشِش حِسَابًا, according to your action. Hisaba has different meanings. One in Arabic you say hasbi, yani it's sufficient. So now the scholars of tafsir raise a question here. Something cannot be compensation and a gift at the same time. End of the month, the boss comes, calls you and you say, bhai, I got tomorrow hadyo che. Bhai, hu hadyo, maro pagar che. Imo hadyo ni hu what? Allah said that when you go to Jannah, Jannah is, Allah used two words. Allah said compensation and Allah said a gift. Now there's an apparent contradiction. It cannot be two at the same time. Wow, look at the beauty of the Quran. Look at the beauty of the Quran. So the scholars of tafsir tell us to make us happy, Allah is calling it compensation. Otherwise, Jannah is a gift. And then they further write that with our so-called act of obedience, we don't even qualify for the bounties of this world. Never mind the bounties of Jannah. With the worship that we do and the toiling that we do, it doesn't warrant and entitle us to the bounties of the world that we enjoy, leave alone the bounties of Jannah. So to make us happy, Allah calls it jaza'an. Otherwise, in reality, no action of ours can make us deserving of Jannah. In reality, it is ata'an. It is ata'an. It's a gift, it's a boon, it's a blessing, it's a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in Surah An-Nazi'at about the transitory nature of life. Life is short. So on the day of Qiyamah, people will be asked, how long you stayed in this world? How long were you gone? So some will say, يَتَخَافَتُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا عَشْرًا. I think it was about 10 days. The verse of the Quran. Then the other one said, no. You're not making sense, man. Wait, it was 10 days. Think properly, it was one day. نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذْ يَقُولُ أَمْثَلُهُمْ طَرِيقَةً إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا يَوْمًا. It was only one day. Why are you saying 10 days? The third one will say, no, what you talking about one day, man? Recall properly. I think it was just the morning or it was an evening. كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحى. I think morning or evening, I'm not sure, but it wasn't more than half a day. The fourth one will interject and say, were you dreaming of morning? وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَا لَبِثُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةٍ. It was not even a second. تو بے جان سا پتھر بھی نہیں ہے, تو فرشتہ اور پیغمبر بھی نہیں ہے, تو حلم کا سمندر اور چشمہ بھی نہیں ہے, پر تو اپنے رب کی نگاہوں میں کمتر بھی نہیں ہے. تو جو کچھ بھی ہے اپنی حدوں کو پہچان, تو رب کی پکڑ سے باہر بھی نہیں ہے. وٹ ایور یو آر, انڈرسٹینڈ دا باؤنڈریز دیٹ اللہ ہیز پٹ, دا ٹائم دیٹ اللہ ہیز گیون یو. So Allah will say, whether you say 10 days or 1 day or half a day or 1 second, the common thread that binds the four definitions is you all agree your time was short. Whether you say 10 days, you call it 1 day, you call it 1 morning, you call it 1. But what is common between all? All are saying, إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَدَدَ سِنِينَ, few, for a short period. In this short period, you couldn't obey me and you earned an eternal Jahannam for yourself? Something which you yourself admit how brief and how short and how temporary and how transitory it is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and reminds us of a very amazing tale. And that is about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a great lesson here. There's so much for us to learn. I hope I can try and condense it. So the name of the chapter is Abasa. Abasa literally means to frown. That's the meaning of Abasa. And if you frown more, then it means Basar. Abasa wa Basar. Abasa wa Basara. Now understand this very importantly. The name of the chapter is frowning. Abas. So one day Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was sitting and he wanted to get a meeting with the prominent, influential, high-profile individuals of Makkah. Very difficult to secure a meeting with them. High flyers, commitments, schedule, they got an agenda. So to get them down for 5 minutes is a tall order, it's a big ask. Finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got a meeting with them, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set them down. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was obviously using the opportunity to give them da'wah. While Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was giving them da'wah, Abdullah ibn Maktum radiyallahu anhu came and he was visually impaired. He was visually impaired. He didn't have sight. He was one of the mu'adhin of this ummah. And he came in the gathering. He didn't realize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting there with these people. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, teach me from what Allah has taught you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a moment felt that the presence of Abdullah ibn Maktum radiyallahu anhu at this time was a bit inopportune, because these people are difficult to set them down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't shun him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't ignore him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't abandon him. No, never. Just that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that at this moment, I'm busy with these people. I look on a jara kapre hachwai na ke. But then we'll talk to you. We'll attend. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said nothing other than a frown on his blessed forelock. That's it. So there was a vein here on the forelock of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that used to come out when he used to become angry. The sahaba make mention about it. Whenever Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam used to become angry, then there would be a vein on his blessed forelock that would protrude. And then we would realize that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was angry. And that was about it in terms of how composed and how calculated he was. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verses. And in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gently reproached and modestly reproached the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abasa, abasa, he frowned. Now, understand this. The ulama say, from a medical perspective, The people who the Prophet of Allah had set down, they were someone who needed urgent medical intervention. Person is in got cancer and it's malignant and it's spreading. He needs to be admitted into a medical facility with urgency. That was the ijtihad, the logical application of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While my noble companion Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, he wants to learn more, liken it to a person who has a basic flu or fever. So he needs some degree of advice, counsel, motivation, but nothing serious. And anybody will agree that when there are two patients, one of a more critical nature and the other one not of a critical, then you give priority to the critical. And that's precisely what the Nabi, everybody's understanding what I'm saying, right? Because there's a point to understand beyond this. So that's precisely what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He focused on these people because they were critical. Their condition was severe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala objected and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reproached Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Why? O Nabi of Allah, your logic is correct that when someone is more ill, you give him priority provided he admits he's sick and he's seeking cure. بشرتے کہ وہ اعتراف کرے اپنے مرض کا اور وہ طالب علاج ہو. مرض شدید ہو لیکن انکار کرتا ہو اپنے مرض کا اور طالب علاج نہ ہو تو پھر اس کو چھوڑ دو. You can have the most severe condition. The first step towards recovery is admission that I am sick. You know, when a person gets diagnosed medically, his first reaction is denial. No, I don't have it. No, elko doctor elko kya kare yaar, elko ni wat kare hi duty. The body is not accepting it. The mind is refusing it. So you just shut in it. You just discard in it. But gradually you start embracing it. Okay, I don't know. Preliminary reports suggest. At this stage it's unconfirmed. We're still going for a second opinion. It might not be malignant. Now you start. Finally, you embrace the fact that, Lord, hang on, I have a condition. That's the time you start instituting treatment. But till you don't admit, there's no treatment. My brother, we need to admit that we are spiritually ill if we want Allah to cure us. People say that, make dua, Allah keep us humble. I say that's a claim of humility. That itself is arrogance. Make dua Allah keep us humble. That means you claim in humility. That's what they say. Humility is strange. Just when you claim it, you lost it. Make dua Allah make us humble. You can't say make dua Allah keep us, because if you're saying keep us, it means you claim in you humble. I can't claim it. Who can claim it? None of us can claim it. Only Allah knows. So there's a very profound message here that O Nabi of Allah, attend to Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum even in his simple way, because he wants to cure himself. He wants to better himself. The person who is seeking treatment, then definitely focus on him. And if we are desirous of cure, then Allah will cure us. Allah will cure us. The other thing we learn from this chapter is amazing, is the adab of itab. The adab of itab. Wow. Look at the profile of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look at the relation of Allah to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My word. So Allah didn't say abasta. Allah said abasa. Allah said he frowned. Allah didn't say you frowned, O my Nabi of Allah. Takhfifan lil itabi ala nabiyyi. In Bayan al-Quran, this is mentioned. To reduce the impact of the gravity of the reproach. So when you say, you did it, it's more strong, it's more stern, it's more harsh. And when you said, someone did it, he did it, it drops down the impact. It drops down the impact. Right? Imam Shafi said, تَغَمَّدْنِي بِنُسْحِكَ فِي انْفِرَادِي وَجَنِّبْنِي النَّصِيحَةَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ فَإِنَّ النُّسْحَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ نَوْعٌ مِّنَ التَّوْبِيخِ لَا أَرْضَى إِسْتِمَاعَةِ
Or my brother, take me one side and talk to me nicely. I'll listen to your advice from the morning till the night. But don't rebuke me in public. I won't listen to one word. Or my brother, take me one side and talk to me nicely. I will listen to you from the morning till the night, whatever you tell me, because I'll be convinced you're there in my interest. But don't rebuke me or chastise me or reproach me in public, because I don't know if you want to impress others or you want to rectify me. Look at the diplomacy with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses his abasa. He frowned, right? Watawalla, and he turned. Anja'ahu al-a'ma, because a blind person came to him. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha paying tribute and homage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, "Law katama Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shay'an min al-wahy la katama hadhihi al-aya, walakinahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam ma katama shay'a." That the Prophet of Allah was so transparent and honest that he didn't conceal any revelation from us. If he was one who would have concealed, he would have concealed this ayah. Because in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reproached him. But he conveyed to us the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lavishly praised him. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا. So many verses where Allah praised Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also conveyed to us the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reproached him and chastised him. أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّ. Wallahi, the Quran is just amazing. And do you know, and what makes you know? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resumes the communication with a direct address. He frowned, he turned. Then Allah said, do you know, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The scholars say the address of indirect was to drop the gravity. And then the address of direct was so that the Prophet of Allah doesn't think that Allah is shunning him. So sometimes you need to, In back in the days, if a father just turned his face like this, the child won't sleep all night. Now he'll sleep better. If the father did this, oh, it's over. Or the ustad did this, that was it. When Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, when the social boycott was put upon us, and then I used to come, tanakkarat li al-ard. تنكرت لي الأرض. It wasn't the same Medina. فليس هي المدينة التي أعرفها. I go by my friends, nobody talks to me. I go to my companions, I come to the Prophet of Allah, I'm yearning to see if he looks at me, and he's not looking at me. And this was the command of Allah because of our non-participation in Tabuk. And while I'm walking in the streets of Medina, knowing that my Nabi is angry with me, I receive a letter from the king of Ghassan. سَمِعْنَا أَنَّ صَاحِبَكَ قَدْ جَفَاكَ فَالْحَقْ بِنَا نُوَاسِيكَ. Oh, I believe your prophet has launched you. I believe your prophet has ditched you. Come leave him, join us. I ask you, my brother, and this is how I present it often in my talks. You're having a crisis in your marriage, and it's turbulent, and it's rocky, and you come out, and you get this seductive smile from someone. Hi, how are you, Brother Muhammad? We can have coffee. What's up? Me and you cannot resist that smile even when things at home are hunky-dory. At home it's right, nothing wrong, and somebody smiles and suddenly you're charmed by the charisma. You're charmed by that feeling and that touch. The Nabi of Allah is angry, and here somebody else is exploiting the situation and the vulnerability. The Prophet of Allah knows that others are tapping into it. He didn't say, okay, call Ka'b bin Malik back. Tell him, okay, it's over now. No, it's over. We cut it short. There was a tarbiyah that was taking place. He said, وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنَ الْبَلَىٰ فَتَيَمَّمْتُ التَّنُّورِ فَسَدَرْتُهَا. When that note came, there was a fire in front, I dropped it straight. That's why I tell the youth, when that message comes, delete. He said, no, I just keep it in my folder. Yeah, maybe one day I can help her. Immediately, this is the narration, I dropped it. And I would come and I would look. Is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking at me or not? So there was a time until hatta kamula lana khamsuna layla. 50 long nights had passed. 50 long nights had passed. I had performed my Fajr Salah and I seen a man advancing and he said, Abshir ya Ka'b bi khayri yawmin marra alayka mundhu waladatka ummu Ka'b. All the best, all the best. By Allah, the greatest day has come upon you. Allah has pardoned you. Fakharartu sajida, I dropped in sajda. And the practice of the Arabs, which today we've omitted, unfortunately, and it was continued in Islam, is that when the bearer of good news comes, you give him a token. So if somebody brings good news, the teachings of Islam is, it started from early and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it continued. But unfortunately today, this practice has just been ignored amongst us. So I always say, we don't know how to give glad tidings, or we don't know how to give a gift to the bearer of good news, but we know how to curse the bearer of bad news. Tu to haro jeher bhi aave tari khabar ch undi. Aaya aave ekle bachi ne chalo jaano bhai. We don't know how to give good news or acknowledge. But when somebody comes with bad news, then we know how to hurl a curse. Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, I told the man, I only own what I wear. And I'm gifting you this clothes also, but I'm going to borrow it because I don't have anything else to wear. Wow. Can you imagine that? Then you say, no, if I had, I would have given you, but I don't have. If I had, I would have given you. The narration is in Ma'riful Quran, when Yehuda, the eldest son of Yaqub alayhi salam, brought the qamis of Yusuf alayhi salam. And he came and put it on Yaqub alayhi salam's face. فَرْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا Allah restored his vision. The word qamis in the entire Quran only features in the chapter of Yusuf alayhi salam. Nowhere else does this word come. And it comes in the chapter of Yusuf alayhi salam 3 times. And the ulama says sometimes one thing in life is a cause of pain, but later in life that same thing is the cause of happiness. Sometimes something, a child in your early years can be the most turbulent child, but later in life that child is the source of greatest pride for you. That same qamis was brought to Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ They brought the garment of Yusuf stained with false blood. And they said, oh, you know what? The wolf devoured Yusuf. Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salam was a Nabi. He said, wow, what an intelligent wolf. Looks like it unbuttoned the shirt of my son and took it out very neatly. Because they didn't realize they stained it, but they didn't tear it and rip it. So it was neat. It was intact. It didn't have any cut. It wasn't ripped. So, okay, yeah. But you didn't realize that because you fabricated it, you invented it, it was a lie. So when they brought it, they had obviously dropped him in the well, they had fabricated the tail, they put blood on it, and they had slaughtered a lamb, and they said, here's it. So he said, oh, ma ahlama hadha dhib. This is a very intelligent wolf that is very neatly and systematically, and obviously they realize that they have been exposed. So that qamis at that stage brought pain. Then in the tale of the woman trying to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam, that very qamis became the defense mechanism for the honesty of Yusuf alayhi salam. And ultimately that qamis became the means for the restoration of the vision of Yusuf alayhi, Yaqub alayhi salam. So it's mentioned in Ma'riful Quran with reference to Hasan Basri that when Yehuda came and gave the qamis to Yaqub alayhi salam, he said, oh my son, you've given me such good news to know my son is alive. I want to thank you and I want to reward you. But there's nothing in this house of Nabuwat that I can give you physically. It's in the 5th volume. But it is the sunnah to reward someone and to appreciate someone who gives good news. The only good news we know is somebody comes and says, hey bro, you know what? She said, yes bro, you fixed my brother. Hey, I want to kiss you. No, you can kiss her brother. Why you want to kiss me? I don't have anything physical or tangible or monetary, But what I will do is I will pray for you that may Allah make the pangs of death easy for you. That's a father making dua for his son. For us, that's a curse. A father making that dua for his son. Anyway, this is teachings of Islam. Because remember, that somebody gives you good news, to give the bearer of good news a token, a gesture, an acknowledgement, a gift. If he brings good news to you, it's amongst the teachings of Islam. Khair, we were mentioning this incident. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى. So the point from this we learn is that in Islam, when you have to discipline someone also, it needs to be gentle. In fact, the ulama take it to another level, that it makes of a great thinker, guardian, parent, teacher, tutor, that if he needs to give a reminder to his disciple, to his student, then he creates a scenario in which the student can realize it himself. Wow. That's thinking. And we learned this from Quran. So one day, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam said to Allah, that, oh Allah, there isn't a moment in my palace but that you glorified. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, of course he was a Nabi and he said it in gratitude, but a Nabi is scrutinized to a very high level. They came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell us about the seven sleepers and tell us about Dhul Qarnain and tell us about the soul. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'll tell you tomorrow. And he slipped up to say, inshallah. And for 15 days, revelation didn't come. And these people came back and said, oh, so you don't have the answer. We told you the basis of your prophethood is answer three. You said, come tomorrow. We came tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. And now the prolonged apparent delay is causing pain to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they exploiting it and arguing their justification that you're not a prophet. And then after 15 days, revelation came. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Oh my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in future, don't commit to anything unless you say inshallah. Don't commit. So that's the station of prophethood, that on one slip, there was consequences. Because at that high level is a prophet groomed. A prophet is groomed and molded and shaped to a very high level of absolute perfection, because he's that embodiment of guidance for mankind. So Dawud alayhi salam said this, but it gave off, this is what the scholars say, it gave off a sense of self-recognition. It gave off a self, so I am doing it. So Allah said, Dawud, this is mentioned in the Hashiya of Tafsir Uthmani with reference to Madarij al-Salikin. Oh Dawud, it is because I have given you the ability to do it. One day I will snatch it and you won't be able to do it. And the ulama, right, it's mentioned there as well. When a person says, Allah, I've performed salah, I've given charity, I did this, then Allah says, yeah, but I gave you the health, I gave you the wealth, I gave you the strength. And when a servant says, Allah, you made it possible for me to fast, Allah, you made it possible for me to perform taraweeh, then Allah said, but you were sincere also, my servant. You tried also, my servant, so I will reward you, my servant. So when a servant directs it to Allah, then Allah recognizes his endeavor in the equation. And when a servant takes credit for himself, then Allah, and we see it. You say, I stood for taraweeh properly. The next day you have one sharp pain in your back and you're gone. That's it. Alhamdulillah, I fast. The other day we didn't have suhoor also, I fast. Next day you got nausea and you just throwing up, gone. Yesterday you claimed, the next day it's over. One slip and you're over. Or you had an erratic night, you had an insomniac night, you didn't sleep, the next day you're out. So a slight change to our schedule and you realize we're incapacitated. We cannot perform, we cannot deliver. So what I'm saying is that we learn from here that there's an art of how we reach people. There's an art of how we groom people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with what diplomacy. So Dawud alayhi salam is sitting in his chamber. Two people come and scale. So whenever he would be in worship, there would be a butler manning the door and nobody could come in. Dawud alayhi salam is in ibadah. Suddenly two people come barging. Allah speaks about it in the Quran. إِذْ تَسَوَّرُوا الْمِحْرَابِ, they scale the wall. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ دَاوُدَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ, they come in front of Dawood and he panics. لا تخاف, don't fear. خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْتِتْ وَهْدِنَا إِلَىٰ سَوَاءِ الصِّرَاطِ. Listen, the two of us are litigants, we're arguing. This brother of mine, he's got 99 sheep, 99 ewes, and I only have one. Instead of giving me his, he wants me to give him my one and make it 100. And there's many like that today also. And the problem is, وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ, إِنَي بَوْلْتَ آوْرَي, مَنَي بَوْلْوَنُونِي آوْرَي. He knows how to speak. So he's very articulate. He's got the gift of the gab. He can dominate. When you listen to him, he'll mesmerize you. So Dawood alayhi salam is like just consumed, overwhelmed, making ibadat, and suddenly he's just overwhelmed by this whole situation. And then he says, yeah, this is very wrong. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. And that's the general condition of partners, that one exploits another. And this is very wrong. And then he gave the verdict. And they looked at each other. The Quran speaks about this in the 23rd Juz. They looked at each other and they disappeared. وَظَنَّ دَاوُودُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّا. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi elaborates on this here, the adab of tanbih under this here. They disappeared. And Dawood realized, hey, where's my claim that I worship Allah 24 hours? I was overwhelmed by these two litigants who came barging in, overpowered me, overwhelmed me. I lost my focus momentarily. I got so engrossed that at that time nobody was making the ibadah. And Allah created the scenario, brought it on me, that it dawns upon me myself. So it makes of a great, provided like they say in Arabic, al-aqilu takfihi al-ishara, wal-jahilu la takfihi al-risala. That an intelligent person is one who picks up a hint, and a foolish person is one, you'll write him a letter also, you won't understand. You say to him explicit, one-on-one, still won't get the hint. Anyway, may Allah make us amongst those people that we have the correct etiquettes in how we can reform. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is performing salah, and then one person comes and joins the congregation in the passion to secure the rakat. So he starts at the door, Allahu Akbar, and then he starts walking in salah. This is the hadith, Muwatta Imam Muhammad. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard the scuffle. So after salah, he said, what happened? He said, no, it was Abu Bakr. He wanted to join the salah, so he started from the door and he started walking. Now one is to demoralize that person and say, but next time, start from home. Yeah, start from home and then start walking from there. Tamhi gerati, shuru kari nakto. No. He said, Zadakallahu hirsan, wala ta'ud. Zadakallahu hirsan. Oh, that's such an amazing passion. May Allah increase you many folds in your passion, your desire, your enthusiasm. But the action is wrong. Wow. In two words, complimenting, acknowledging, lauding, recognizing, and at the same time disciplining. This could only be a prophetic formula. It could only be a Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't start off on the note of discipline. He didn't start off on the note of discipline. You tell a child to bring, and now he comes rushing, and he dropped, and he fell. You know? Mara mata parcha. No. MashaAllah. Jazakallah. Next time, walk slowly. May Allah reward you. May Allah reward you. Look at the adab. Our deen is adab. I mention this often in my talks. We're not taking a cue from Quran. I just have a flash here. I know my time is running out. People are... Just give you another quick adab that the Quran teaches us about ziyafat. Right? Hospitality. Sometimes you're a guest, sometimes you're a host. Ibn Kathir has elaborated on this. Amazing. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Have you heard about the honorable guest of Ibrahim alayhi salam? إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا. When they entered, they greeted. As a guest, when you come, you got to greet. The teachings. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam looked at them and he said, I don't really know them. In his heart, he said, قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينَ. Oh man, this is just amazing. رَاغَ in Arabic means to sneak out, stealthily, discreetly. So he brought them in and then he just went out quickly and came back. The word raga linguistically releases the hint that when you're preparing food for your guests, don't leave them for extended periods. Now you bring them in the lounge and you go on in the kitchen. They don't know, are you happy you're there or you're upset with you there because you disappeared. Now you're in the kitchen, because now you're trying to, you know what, do damage control because you brought unannounced visitors. So now you're trying to, you know what I mean, just tone down and pacify and try and rescue the moment. The word raga in Arabic releases the hint that the etiquettes of a host is not to leave his guest for long. Faja'a bi'ijlin samin, he brought a roasted calf. He said that I don't know them in his heart, and yet he gave them a roasted calf. We won't give that for people who we know. Then he brought the roasted calf, he faqarrabahu ilayhim. He presented the food to them. So Ibn Kathir says that if the logistics allow, don't subject the guest to come to the food, bring the food to him. قَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. Our Quran is adab. Our deen is adab. Our life is adab. There's etiquettes, there's values, there's morals, there's respect. It's a complete code of life. It's legislated. It's authenticated. It's the message of the Quran. The two sisters that went to fetch the water from the well of Madian, they went out. They were working. They were out amongst men. But the Quran spoke about the adab and etiquettes with which they were there. So for Musa alayhi salam, it's a strange sight. He's just walked into Madian. He doesn't know what's happened. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا تَذُودَانِ. He's seen two women standing one side. They're also out, they're going in the public, they're going, they're attending, modest, respectful, and they're doing whatever chores they need to. مَا خَطْبُكُمَا قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَى وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. That our dad is aged, he's old, he's frail, so he's unable to come, and we need to take our flock, but we cannot rub shoulders with the men, so we stand in modestly. Look at the empathy and the sympathy of a Nabi. After walking 8 days, there's a warrant of arrest against him, he's hungry, he's in no man's land. He says, no, wait, sister, I need to assist you. I need to assist you. And then he goes and takes the flock and returns it to them. Now that's the thing we need to ask ourselves. Do we pray for a sister as in P-R-A-Y or P-R-E-Y? One is to pray and one is to pray. One is to exploit vulnerability and one is to aid. May Allah make us amongst those who assist those that are vulnerable and not exploit vulnerability. Because that's how the world has become today. Anybody is vulnerable, somebody else unfortunately becomes a vulture, hovering over to exploit him further. That's the crisis in the world. That's why somebody said, you get human beings, there's a difference between human beings and being human. We might be human beings, but are we being human? No, we're not being human. We're not being human. That's not human. To exploit the vulnerability of someone else is not a human. That's not a human feeling. A human, by his very instinct, would assist. So anyway, that's the next adab. Qarrabahu, present the food. Then the etiquette as a guest is that when the host presents the food to you, even if you cannot eat it, just make some movement. Okay, very nice, mashallah. فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ. Because these were angels, Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't know, and he put the food and they're not moving. So then he said, no, wait, man, I'm mane tamarti beek lage chya tumko nahi khawa tumko kuncho to ke hamaj nahi padti au jaisa min hum khifa. Listen folks, I'm uneasy kawanu tama humboy moko tame to joya aj karot mane. So the etiquette is that when you presented with food, then move, show it. Just even if you're going to take a chocolate and put it in your pocket, or open a wrapper, or just nibble on something, but show some movement. That is the adab. Also, don't arrive by the house before the time. لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إناه غير منتظرين. Don't come there and hey, mashallah. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the point I'm saying is, my brother, our Quran is full of etiquettes. It's we are a nation with values. We are a nation with morals. We are a nation with a code of life in every aspect of how we ought to live. Just 2-3 ayat quickly and I'll conclude. Allah speaks in Surah At-Takwir about Qiyamah. This will happen, this will happen. But one thing that Allah highlights, and the scholars of Tafsir, they tap into everything. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. And the girl that was buried alive by the pagan Arab will be revived. And she will be asked, what crime you committed that you were buried alive? The scholars of Tafsir raise the question and they say, Qiyamah will address every injustice. Why did Allah highlight this injustice? Wow. Qiyamah is going to address every form of abuse, exploitation, anything and everything. Whoever abused and exploited in any form, it will be addressed on Qiyamah. Why did Allah say, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. And when that girl who was buried alive by the pagan era in the pre-Islamic time, then she will be asked for what crime? And what an amazing answer given. Generally, for the defense of a minor, who comes to rescue her case or his case? The advocate will be the parent. In this case, the very defender is the perpetrator. The person who will represent the child is the perpetrator who committed the crime. So the parent and the guardian has committed the offense. They have terminated the life of that child. Allah says, I will represent that child and I will defend that child. This minor who was a victim of the brutality and the aggression of the one it perceived to be its guardian and well-wisher and protector, and that very parent did this to the child, Allah says, I will defend and I will protect. So Qiyamah is a day, my brother, that will address all issues. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Wow. How do you translate this? تَمُكُوْ كَرْشَالَ. Where are you going? Where are you off to? This is what Allah is asking. Where are you off to? Qatada say, عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ. Leaving this Quran and going, where are you going? You're going to get lost. You're going to get lost. The height of foolishness is to do the same thing every day and expect a different result. You don't change what you're doing, and then you want different. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Leaving this Quran and going, there's no direction, there's no navigation, there's no coordinates. This is the way you have to come back, and this is the answer to all aspects of life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches here in Surah Mutaffifin about the fraudster. May Allah save us from cheating, from deceiving, from doing any acts of fraud. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe be to the fraudster. Woe be to those who cheat in their business. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When it's time to collect, they'll take full, by 1 gram short. 1 gram. Yeah, my $1, please. Yeah. So that's fine. The Quran doesn't condemn your demand. يَسْتَوْفُونَ. The Quran doesn't condemn that. But then this becomes a negative trait when you don't display the same thing when you have to give others. Where's your discipline, your diligence, your competence, your meticulous nature when it comes to giving others? You're very meticulous. What Allah says, Alladhina, those, إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. When they have to measure and weigh from people, oh, they take full. Not 1 gram, not 1 inch less. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when they need to give others, they're comfortable in giving less and short and cheating and you know, fraud in the system. What does Allah say? Looks like he forgot that he has an interview with me. Allah says, looks like he forgot. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He forgot. I've got an interview. He's got an interview with me. And in that interview, I will produce everything. وَإِنْ كَانَ وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ
Wow.
I'll give you a verbatim translation. We will put the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ And if it's an action to the size of a mustard seed, أَتَيْنَا بِهَا We will produce it on your scale so that you can see. Otherwise, our knowledge is sufficient to record everything. We don't need the angel. بَلَا وَرُسُلَنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ They are writing to give you a report and a printout. Otherwise, we don't need that. We don't need anything. Our knowledge is adequate on every aspect. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْتَكُمْ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ بِإِسْتِخْرَاجِهَا خَبِيرٌ بِمَكَانِهَا Anyway, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about something amazing. Look at the deduction of the Mufassirin. Wail. Wail. Wail is a severe warning. So in Surah Ma'un, Allah says, Wailul أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمُ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَى طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ In that Allah speaks of the munafiq and the kafir. And then Allah says, وَيَمْنَعُونَ Look at the scholars of tafsir. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ These people, they mize in basic kindness. Ma'un refers to the neighbor wants to borrow salt, or wants to borrow sugar, or wants to borrow a needle. This common acts of kindness that you would display with your neighbor. This is ma'un. But they say this is the meaning of ma'un, but it implies zakat. It implies zakat. Why? Because the punishment pronounced in the Quran is wail. And wail is a severe punishment. And wail will not come on a person who falls short in optional charity. Wailun will only come for something that's severe and catastrophic. And the reference why Allah referred to zakat is ma'un, to say that it is so simple and so easy and so trivial that it is like common kindness to your neighbor. That is how simple it is to discharge. But it actually means zakat. That is why Allah said, if you don't give it, then wail has either destruction or a pit in hell. May Allah protect us. Look at this reflection. One and one more verse and we conclude, inshallah. Every human, I was blown away by this deduction of the Mufassirin. Intrinsically, inherently, he knows there's a supreme being and he believes in Allah. Whether he's an atheist or he's an agnostic or he denies it. But in the heart of hearts, His inner soul calls out to Allah. This is how Allah has made us. Look at the deduction. Allah says on the day of Qiyamah that one of the punishments that will be imposed on the occupants of hell, may Allah protect us. Kalla innahum an rabbihim yawma idhin lamahjubun. Whoa. On that day, the occupants of hell will be barred from their Lord. They'll be blocked from their Lord. They'll be veiled from their Lord. They'll be screened from their Lord. The scholars of tafsir say, this ayah compels us to believe that the atheist and the agnostic and the infidel, as much as he verbally denied Allah, in his heart he believed in Allah and he desired to see Allah. Because blockage from seeing Allah can only constitute a penalty if you believe in Allah and you want to see Allah. If a child is 2 years old and is troubling, he's happy. He doesn't want to eat. You cannot punish him. You cannot discipline him. He's happy. The child doesn't want. That's not a discipline. By withholding, the child doesn't feel because he's happy. He doesn't want to eat. So you will only use an example or an analogy of something that a person is yearning for, he's pining for, he's desiring for. Allah is saying they will be barred from seeing Allah. That means they believe in Allah. That means they want to see Allah. Then only will it constitute Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And that's the truth. The anatomy of man, the sentiment of man in his heart of heart, everybody wants to, you know, calls out towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks in the surah also about the occupants of Jannah. May Allah make us amongst them. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ you'll see this radiance, this happiness, this glow, this bliss, this joy, this euphoria on their faces, this excitement. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. They will be made to drink from the sealed nectar, right? خِتَامُهُ مِسْكٍ. It will be sealed with musk. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. It is in this Jannah that people should vie and compete with one another to achieve it. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمٍ. But this will be blended with some water from the fountain of Tasneem. So sannama yusannimu Tasneem in Arabic means like a hum, something that's high, something that's raised. So that every jannati will have a drink that will be flavored with water from this spring, while those that are very close to Allah, they'll drink from the spring directly. عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. You go in first class, is a different level. You go in business class, is a different level. You go in economy, is a different level. I tell people generally, life is short, but economy is life is short, but an economy flight is long. Anyway, last reflection here in Surah Ma'arij, Surah Buruj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the hope, the clemency, the grace, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks about people who burnt the friends of Allah alive. Can there be a more grave crime than that? Burning the friends of Allah. There's hope for you, my brother. There's hope for me. There's hope for everyone. There's hope for everyone. Take one action from Ramadan and just continue with it. There was this person, Suhail bin Amr. Suhail bin Amr says, I was traveling with my wife and family, and then we were intercepted by some robbers. So, أَخَذُوا مَا عِنْدَنَا مِنْ طَعَامٍ وَشَرَابٍ وَمَتَاعٍ. They looted us. They took our food, they took our drink, and they took our belongings. And then, جَلَسُوا يَأْكُلُونَ. They started eating. فَرَأَيْتُ أَنَّ قَائِدَ اللُّسُوسِ لَا يُشَارِكُهُمْ فِي الْأَكْلِ. The leader of the bandit and the group, the thieves, he wasn't eating. So I asked him, you're not eating? He said, no, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. I'm fasting. I gave a rose over. So they looted, they stole, they took everything, and everyone sat and started eating. فَرَأَيْتُ أَنَّ قَائِدَ اللُّسُوسِ لَا يُشَارِكُهُمْ فِي الْأَكْلِ. He's not eating. So I asked him, like, what's this? ये क्या माजरा है? So he said, no, I'm fasting. So I asked him, but I mean, you're doing wrong. He said, تَرَكْتُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ بَابٍ. I've left one door between me and Allah open, and that is my fasting. I will not give it up with all my wrong. I know one day this action will change my life completely. My brother, if you're reading that Yasin, read it every day. You give in charity, give it every day. You serve in your mother, serve her diligently. You perform in your ishraq, do it. Don't give up on that action. It will turn your day, it will change your vision. And he said, 2 years later, I found him at the Kaaba and he was performing Hajj and he was completely changed. And when I seen him, I said, how true to your words, Allah brought the day and it has changed you. So I'm saying, take one action. Take one action from Ramadan that you've done here. Ideally, that will be, you know, the more the merrier, if you can hold on to everything. But I'm saying, take one action which prior to Ramadan you were not. Make a vow to yourself. Okay, this Ramadan, I've done this. I'm going to continue with this, inshallah. And you'll see the benefit of it. So I leave you with this reflection. These people burnt the friends of Allah alive. They burnt them. And amongst them was that woman, the hadith speaks about it, that these trenches were dug, and then a mother came, and she had her child. And then she stood there, and she looked at her nursing child, and her, you know, lactating child, فَتَقَاسَعَتْ. And she pulled back. And the baby spoke. It's the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya ummah isbiri fa innaki ala al-haq. Oh, my mother, persevere. You are on the truth and Allah will reward you. And the mother went in and that fire burnt and roasted the mother and the child. And Allah speaks about this. Look at Ibn Kathir's deduction in his tafsir. He said, the mercy and the clemency of Allah is beyond human comprehension. When Allah spoke about the punishment of these people who burnt his friends alive, you say, bhai, you are disrespectful to your ustad, the consequences will be grave. You are rude to your mom, it will be catastrophic. You are abrupt to a sage of the age, it will be catastrophic. These people physically burnt the friends of Allah alive. But when Allah spoke about their punishment, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ. Wow. He said, I am marvel at the mercy of Allah. Those fatanu ayadhabu, those who persecuted the friends of Allah. Allah didn't say for them is Jahannam. Allah didn't say for them is a burning fire. Those who burnt my friends, if they don't make tawbah, then I'll punish them. If they don't make tawbah, then I'll punish them. Loudly giving off the message that if you make tawbah, even for those who burn the friends of Allah, the doors of tawbah are open for such a person. Surely we haven't committed that crime. And I always mention this hadith, and it just gives me comfort like beyond description. Allah says, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي وَلَا أُبَالِي. Listen, if you've done a lot of sins and it covers everything, I'll forgive you. Yeah, and I won't rave about it. People, they forgive you once, they remind you 10 times. Right? And the crime that you did was not so severe the way he's making it sound. But he'll tell you, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. WhatsApp gives you now lately the option that if you posted the wrong thing in X amount of time, you can delete it from the group. Right? Delete, delete, delete. And then you realize he posted it on the wrong thing. And we're like, happy, it's a good thing. But there's a window period you can delete. Allah says, when you repent, then you don't have to delete. I delete it from the record of the angels, from the memory of the angels, from the location of the earth, and from the organs with which you committed it. So when you come before me, nobody can give counter evidence against you. The narration of Targhib. إِذَا تَابَ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ أنسى الله حفظته ذنوبه وأنسى ذلك جوارحه ومعالمه حتى يلقى الله عز وجل يوم القيامة وليس عليه شاهد من ذنب. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us value this few moments, hours, seconds that is left, and we can be amongst those people that can secure and procure the goodness of this blessed month, because it's just going to slip away. It's just leaving us. It's just going at any moment. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu wa ilayka yurja'u al-amru kulluhu ala niyatuhu wa sirruh. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. O most kind, most loving, most gracious, most merciful Allah, they are your servants that have gathered in their numbers at this odd hour of the night, O Allah, fasting the entire day, standing in nocturnal prayer, preparing for the fast the next day, embracing the day lying ahead, Allah. Surely this is with your ability, Allah. Allah, surely this is at this. This will hopefully win your happiness and your joy, O Allah. We ask you in these blessed nights, in the sacred place, in the last few moments of Ramadan, record us amongst those whose deliverance from hell has been confirmed, O Allah. Make us amongst those who have been emancipated and liberated from hell, O Allah. Allah, we ask you to give us the ability to sort out all our affairs, Allah. Our relationship with you and our relationship with fellow creation, O Allah. Allah, we ask you to create in our heart the dislike and the repugnance of sin, O Allah. We ask you to instill in our hearts the love and the passion of obedience, O Allah. O Allah, those amongst us that are quarreling or have squabbles or feuds with fellow brothers, friends, neighbors, siblings, Allah, give us the ability to make amends and reform and reconcile, O Allah. Allah, those of us that have any unlawful addictions, O Allah, or illicit relationships, give us the ability to abandon it, O Allah. O Allah, those of us that are unfortunately dealing in any form of fraud or unlawful dealings, Allah, free us from that, Allah. Give us pure, halal, and wholesome earnings, O Allah. Those amongst us that are sick and ail, Allah, we beg you, we beseech you, we implore you, grant them instant, complete, and perpetual shifa, Allah. Allah, you are the curer and we ask you to cure, Allah. Those amongst us that have left this world, Allah, you elevate their abode in Jannah, O Allah. You bring tranquility to their soul, Allah. Allahumma anzil ala quburihim al-diyaa wal-noor wal-fushata wal-surur wajazihim bil-ihsani ihsana wabisayyi'ati afwan wa ghufrana. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun raheemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Allahumma ma qasura anhu ra'yuna walam tablughu mas'alatuna min khayri al-dunya wal-akhirah faj'al lana minhu awfar al-hadzi wal-nasib wa salli اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله.